sacrifice their very lives so that we could have freedom in this country. Father, we're grateful for the one who gave it all, our Savior, so that we could worship a risen Savior. Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to us by the power of your word. Lord, you'd help me to communicate that message you would have for this congregation and for me as well. Lord, that we would be on the path you would have us to be on. And Lord, from time to time we get off that path, and discipline must occur in our lives. And so Lord, I pray that you would use these moments together, I pray. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to respond and feet, Lord, to move at the call that you place in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, if you will. And we're going to finish out what we didn't finish last week. Y'all didn't listen fast enough, so we'll have to finish it today. And we're going to finish up part 2. And then next Sunday morning, we're going to dive into just a favorite. I love the book of Psalms. It's raw. It's real. There's no holds barred. You see the best. And sometimes even the worst of somebody being honest and open about their faith and about their struggles and about their questions and about their God bringing answers to them in the most joyful times of their lives and even the most difficult times of their lives. So we're going to be there June, July, and August, and we're going to have a beach theme up here. We're going to kind of be kind of relaxed. And so it'll be an enjoyable summer together as we dive into God's Word every single Sunday. And I want to encourage you, as we go into the summer months, preachers get worried. Did you know preachers worry? Did y'all know that? I know y'all been sitting thinking, what do preachers worry about? Have y'all been thinking that this week? Of course you haven't. Absolutely not. You never even crossed your brain, did it? Are y'all asleep this morning? Are y'all sleepy for more? It's sunny. It's not overly hot. It's not overly cold. It's just right. Right? Some preachers worry when June and July hit because sometimes people get the vacation mindset. Whether they go on vacation, we vacate in our mindset. And so attendance typically does this, and offerings do this, and life group, small group attendance does this. I want to encourage you, let's break that trend this summer. And now I want to encourage you, go on vacation. Take some time off. All right? You need it. We all need it. I'm going this week. I laugh about y'all going to suffer for Jesus from the beach. I will be suffering for Jesus at the beach this week. I'm going to carry the banner high this week of suffering this week. All right? Getting ready right before Kids Extreme. So I'm going to recharge my batteries a little bit, be away with my family. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And I'm going to do that. But I want to encourage you, when you're not doing that, when you're not away, be here. Be here for life groups. You've got life group leaders who are prepared. I want to encourage you to be here. I want to encourage you to be part of worship. Be a part of giving every week. Our giving has been extraordinary this year, and we want to continue that process. By the way, if you volunteer to help, whether you're a teacher or you volunteer in preschool, let me encourage you, be here. Don't miss your Sunday. If you're going to be out and you know it, please take time to replace them. It makes it very difficult when you don't realize it, when you don't show up. It creates all kinds of havoc in the back. And having a lot of preschoolers in the back is already enough havoc as it is. God bless them, and I love them, but man, it creates a challenge. So help us. If you volunteer back there or be willing to help us out in the summer, if somebody doesn't show up, we will be so grateful if you'll help us in that area. That will really help us out a lot. Proverbs chapter 3, Lord, use me. We've been echoing this theme the whole month, that I think that every child of God, our desire would be that God would use us in our generation. That God would use us in our time, that God would use us in our school, in our job, in our church, that we look back on this season of our life and we go, wow, God used me. Most Christians would not come and say, well, I did a survey, and how many Christians would say, well, I don't want the Lord to use me. Let the Lord use somebody else, but just not me. That's not usually the case. But really the issue is more this question. It's not, well, I want the Lord to use me, but we want to put conditions around it. Well, Lord, use me if. Lord, use me when. Lord, use me but. Lord, use me and. We make all kinds of conditions, and God, our prayer should simply be, God, use me. And we talked about the first Sunday together, that we'd be the kind of people that God could use. Look at King Josiah. The next week we talked about the prayer that God will answer, to be a person of prayer, that if God is going to continue to move, and God is moving, but if God's going to continue to move, then we must be a people of prayer. We've got to pray the kind of prayers that Isaiah prayed, honest and raw and real and transparent, and praying for God to rend the heavens and come down and do the things that he had done in the past. Too often we talk so much about the past and what God used to do when we need to be at a place where we're talking about what God is doing today. So many times I'll meet Christians and we'll say, well, tell me what God's doing in your life and tell me your testimony. And it's all about what God did 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And the question then comes, tell me what God is doing in your life today. What did God do in your life this week? What did you learn from God's word? Who did you have a chance to share with? Who did you have a chance to pray with? What is God teaching you about himself? What is God teaching you about you? Praying those kinds of prayers. And then asking this question, and this is the last one we'll end with this morning, that is this, is being on the path that God will direct. If we're going to pray a prayer like, God, use me, Lord, use me, then I have to say this, well, Lord, if you're going to use me, then I've got to be on a certain path for you to use me. I've got to be on your path and on your ways. And we looked at last week the scripture that really helped set the stage for that, and that was in Proverbs chapter 3. We looked through the first six verses, and I want to come back and touch just briefly on those very quickly and then move to the last six verses of chapter 3. But I want us to read all this together again because I love these scriptures. Let's stand together in the honor of reading God's word, and we'll read Proverbs chapter 3 beginning in verse number 1. If you happen to have your Bibles, and I encourage you, always bring them. You don't have a copy, we'll get you a copy, all right? If not, it's on the screen, though, in case you don't have one this morning. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he, God, will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, my daughter, we could add, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, he rebukes, he disciplines. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Father, speak to us now, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll take your outline out there this morning, the front side's already filled out for you. It was a Memorial Day weekend, so you only have to fill out a few blanks. I was trying to be nice to you this morning. It's so nice of me, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Good, good. A couple of you are with me. Praise God. Look, it gets hard on Memorial Day weekend to preach. I don't want to preach and be the audience at the same time. So we don't have Mount Vernon here to help us, as much as it makes me sad. I met with Brother Carl this week, and we were talking about some things, and I said, Brother Carl, I sure do miss Mount Vernon. And they were in there talking, and there was some passion there. We were meeting about something, about a man that's trying to start a church work in Rawls Springs. And so we were talking, and then the other pastor said, well, you know, in typical congregations, you know, a lot of times a white pastor wouldn't want to pastor a black church, and a black pastor wouldn't pastor a white church. And I was like, no, not this white preacher. I said, I'd love to preach in a black church. That would not be a problem. I said, I would preach for 2 hours, but it would not be a problem. And so help me out from time to time if you do that. Just let me know you're there and you're awake and you're not dozing off. All right? Are you good? All right, if you go with that, say amen. I see you're with me. Very good. All right, now let's take a look here. I want to come back and just review just quickly. Remember, in each of these sets of scriptures, there were three things. There was a direction to take, there was a danger to avoid, and then a dividend to expect in each of these. Now, in the first two verses, the command, the direction given was, remember, God's commands. Now, just a word, and that is this. These are not suggestions. Sometimes we take the word of God as a suggestion. We think it's something we can do if it fits what we think or what we like or what we believe. But instead, it is not that. It is a command of God from the word of God. These are calls to obey whether we feel like it or not, whether it's convenient or not. And in doing so, by obeying God's commands, by the way, we show that we love God because we obey his commands. What do? We tell our children. We say, well, Dad, I love you. Well, if you love me, then you will obey me. That's what the word of God teaches us. Now, it's easy to forget these ideas and suggestions, isn't it? The danger to avoid is don't forget them. Don't forget what you know about God. We must be careful not to forget the commands. The clear call of God in our lives, if we want Him to use us, is this, is that we would live a God-fearing, God-controlled life. The problem comes when we take our own path, do our own thing, is when we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. When if we would stay in God's ways and not forget that which God has taught us to be true, then we'd be in a better spot. The dividend to expect, what is it? Bible says we'll live a long life. Now we talked about last week, that doesn't mean necessarily that we'll live a long life. However, that said, it is certainly true that those who choose to avoid things that are cause of danger that God warned us about, for example, and I just use this one as an example, but to avoid alcohol. Why avoid alcohol? Well, if you drink alcohol, you might get drunk, and if you get drunk, you might get in a car, and you might drive somewhere, and you might kill someone. That means if I don't do that, then I am less likely to die from drinking and driving, because I'm not going to drink and drive. Now, I do drink and drive Mountain Dew. That could be dangerous, but I don't do the other, all right? And so we think about that. If we avoid certain things, guess what? Typically, we're going to live longer. It's a promise of the Word of God. Now, does that mean always that's the case? No, that's an overall principle, because there are certainly times that does not happen. Just because I obey the Word of God doesn't mean I'm going to live forever. But the chances are better, more likely, that I am going to live longer if I will obey God's Word. Now, notice the second set of verses, verse 3 and 4. What does he say? The direction to take? Put God's Word deep into your heart. Carve its initials, the one translation says. Put it deep into your heart. What's the danger to avoid? Letting go of God's love and His faithfulness. Now, here's what I love. I didn't have time last week to dive into this. This word here is my favorite Hebrew word. Now, I don't know how many of you know Hebrew. Have any of you ever studied Hebrew before? Anybody? I am the only person. So I could lie to y'all and you'd never know. All right, very good. Who did? Who studied Hebrew? Who's got their hands up? You study Hebrew, Carl.
Not much, but my dad and I know a few words, and I plan on taking Hebrew next year.
Well, very good. Well, very good. So, and you study Hebrew some. All right, very good. So, one class. Well, that counts. That's better than none. That counts. All right, so you can know if I'm saying the right word here then. All right, here it is. Here's the word, and we're going to say it together. Now, you can't say this in your neighbor's ear because it would be bad, because you got to use your throat in this, okay? It is the word chesed. It's very Hasidic, but you can't just say Hesed. It's got to be Hesed. You almost have to clear your throat. You know, let's just say it together just for fun, just to, you know, watch the person behind your back. All right, just go ahead and say Hesed. Boy, y'all are writing a lot down here. This is down here. It's Hesed. No, you're not a cat. You're not a cat, all right? It's not that. It's a Jewish word, right? Now, here's what I love about this word. It's my favorite Hebrew word, not only because of how you say it. The word Hesed literally means God's covenant, faithful love. When he was talking to the Hebrew people, to the Jewish nation, he said that I will take care of you. I will be your loving kindness, the everlasting love of God. In other words, it's the love of God that will grab a hold of us and will never, ever let go. The warning here, don't let go of God's love. But here's the great news. This is a good word to start with this morning. That is this, though I may let go of God, God never lets go of me. Never. It doesn't matter what I do, where I go, what I say. The Bible says in Psalm 139, we'll look at later on this summer, and that is, it doesn't matter where I go, I cannot get away from God's presence. He will be with me. That is such a promise. But the warning is, don't let go of that faithful covenant love and mercy. As a result, we'll find favor in God's eyes and in the eyes of man. The last two verses, the most familiar of Proverbs, quite frankly, to trust the Lord with all your heart. That's the direction to take, trusting with all that we are. I talked about my dad last week and that great leap of trust. Trusting in who God is, trusting in God's unchanging character and ways. The real question is this, do we really believe what the Bible says? And if we believe what the Bible says to be true, then I believe you believe like I do. And that is this, that I believe that it is the Word of God from Genesis all the way to the mass. I mean, it is Word, God's Word for us. And if I say that, then I must trust it as truth and walk in it. That I trust that God is who He says He is. That I trust that God will do what He says He will do. And He will be who He says He will be. And sometimes you'll hear some commentators that'll say this in our modern day world. Well, Christianity is a leap into the darkness. It's into the great unknown. You don't really know. But I would dare say that the Christian life is a leap into the light of the Son of God. It is not some leap of what I don't know. Yes, I can't see it. And no, I cannot physically produce it to prove it to somebody, but I can prove it inside my heart and my life. I can tell you it's changed my life. I could tell you where I would be were it not for the grace and mercy and hesed, faithful covenant love of God in my life. But I've got to trust Him and jump into His arms of one who will never, ever let go. And by the way, it's to trust Him with all of our heart. Not with part of our heart, with all of our heart. And by the way, this is this part where we bring the heart and the head together. We believe the commands. We then obey the commands because we know the one who put them together. The Lord. We obey and we trust Him completely. One illustrator said this, or one quote said this, when the mind is engaged, it is an issue. An issue, the motive is, I ought to. And one of those, my mind's thinking this, I ought to do that. When my will is engaged, the issue is, my motive, I have to do this. I ought to do it. Now my will's involved. I need to do it. I need to do it. Or I have to do it. I've got it. I'm motivated. I have to do it. The last one, what is the last one? But when the heart is engaged, the motive is this. I want to do it. There's a great difference, isn't there? Between an I have to and I want to and I ought to. Think about it in your own life. To exercise. I ought to exercise. Right? Anybody in here think that you ought to exercise? Okay, now some of you that you ought to exercise and you weigh 9 pounds, we don't want to hear it from you, okay? We don't want to hear it from you. You've already moved past the ought to, all right? So most of us, that's where most of us reside, those in the ought to. I ought to. Now some of you, God bless you, you've moved and you've gotten a membership to the Y, right? And so now it's moved to not ought to, it's I have to. Because I paid some money, or maybe you're the 24/7 fit. Do you know we have a 24/7 fitness place? You can work out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you do, you have some problems, in my opinion. But if you want to do it, great. 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So if I've paid something, it goes past the ought to that I got to. I've got money invested, right? But then there's some of you that we all admire from a distance and hate all at the same time. And that is those of you who you've moved past that. You're in the, I want to. You actually exercise on purpose. Me, I do it accidentally. Right? You do it because you want. Now think about our spiritual life. Well, children, we ought to go to church today. So let's go. Well, I have to go. I've volunteered, praise God, to take care of preschoolers. I got to teach a class. We have to go. I don't want to, but we have to. Right? Or do we wake up? Or as in a preacher's case, we look forward to it all week. Is it something you want to do? You see the difference? You can make it in any area of our lives. The danger to avoid, rely on what you think you know. I love that. What I think I know. Our human nature, though, by the way, is to try to figure things out, make it work in our own way, in our own mind, right? Well, this is the way it ought to work, this is the way it ought to happen, but it doesn't always work that way, does it? That's sometimes what we want to do. The dividend to expect, very clear, He'll keep us on the right path. We're not going to get off on the wrong path. By the way, the path becomes clearer and easier. God does not play cosmic hide-and-go-seek with His will, the path that you should be on. It is just like a well-lit runway. If we'll be in the Word of God, He will lay out the path as clear as it could be for you not to follow. Now, there'll be some moments along the way where, like, you know, a year and a half ago, and I was cruising light along on the runway of life, and Michael Blanton called and interrupted my life. Now, he's not here today, so I can talk about him. Melanie, you can tell him when he gets home. He's not feeling well today. And he interrupted my life. He did. It's like a fellow I talked to, our youth, beginning a youth search committee. I talked to a fellow, and he said, I'm real comfortable where I am. I said, you're the exact person I'm looking for. What do you mean? Well, I don't want somebody that's dying to leave where they are. I want somebody that's very happy and content. And God's going to have to uproot them and move them. Hit them over the head with a 2x4. Which is what it felt like, Chris. You thought you got to hit me over the head with a 2x4 to get me here. I know. Right? Don't rely on what you think you know. Let's look at the last three this morning. Verse 7 and 8. This is a good word. This echoes the same thing we just talked about. Never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Simply obey the Lord. Refuse to do wrong. If you do, it will be like good medicine, healing your wounds and easing your pains. What does he say here? What's the direction to take? Obey the Lord and turn away from evil. New American Standard says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. John Wesley, the great Methodist, founder of the Methodist faith, said this statement, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be a clergyman or a layman. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of God here on earth. Do we fear God? Do we obey God? And listen, fear is the word revere, the word reverence. We don't have a holy fear of God in our country anymore. I don't believe. Now, I saw yesterday, the ESPN News interrupted ESPN. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, and I'm going to address this issue next Sunday night in a very kind and loving way, and I'm going to make it kind and loving here, but it's distressing to me. Made a big deal a few weeks ago. Some NBA athlete came out, said, this is what I am. I'm going to keep it at that for right now. Yesterday, soccer player. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw it. I don't ever watch soccer, but it came on after the SEC baseball game we were watching. Had to have a press conference. The first openly gay person to play soccer. And they were doing a press conference. And he said, one of the first quotes, how does it feel? Well, I'm a Christian. And I thought, what confusion he just cast on a lot of people to understand how the Word of God addresses and answers these issues. We're going to address these issues very specifically next Sunday night, because that's one of the questions somebody asked. How do we deal with the issue of homosexuality? And listen, God has a word on that, about what it means and how we are to deal with that issue. We act like it's some big new issue we don't know what to do with. Listen, God's word's clear about it. It really is. It's not confusing. And listen, we have a response. Let me be very crystal clear about this from the front. I'm going to address it next Sunday night. But it disturbed me yesterday because it creates fog. We as children of God and the church of God must be known what we are for, not always what we are against. And that's sometimes a rap that we get, okay? We are called to love every single human being on planet Earth. Every person. I don't care who they are. Now, do we have to disagree on their lifestyle? Not, listen to me, not based on our opinions, not based on what we think or what we want to think or what we think it might be or what some scientist tells us. Listen to me. It must be based on what the Word of God says. But you can't beat somebody up over what you believe. This is what the Bible says. Right? Turn or burn, be a crispy critter, right? It's not going to help, right? God's going to rain down fire. And the problem is we're all lumped in with this Westboro bunch of yahoos. We're even called to love them. You don't know about them. God bless them. They're so confused. They know better than any other. But here's what I guess what I'm saying about that. Here's the thing. We think we're wiser than we think we are. We think we've got it figured out, that we don't have to fear God. But if I fear God, I will obey God and His words. Now, our flesh wants to take over and do what we want to do. But the Lord is abundantly clear. We have an active decision to make each and every day. Do we turn away from evil and fear God? We have a choice every day. There's a great illustration of King Jeroboam. You can go read about his life. He didn't fear God, and it cost the nation. The northern 10 tribes of Israel, they eventually were annihilated because of it. The danger to avoid. Think we're wiser than we really are. Did you know that Satan wants you to think you're really smart? Did you know that? He has a goal to make you think you're smarter than you really are. Now listen, can Satan make you smarter than you really are? Your IQ is what your IQ is. For some of us like me, it's a tad low. I'm slow. I don't always get it all every time. I don't. Some of you are really super smart. There are people like my dad who just make me want to my youth minister in Alabama. He's one of these people. And God bless you. Again, we love you, but we hate you all at the same time, right? You look at a book, you put it down, and you take a test. And you make 100. People like me, I can study for 3 hours. And I'll thank God if I make an 89. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you that aren't laughing, you're those smart people. I know. I know who you are. You're these people you have this photographic memory, right? We think we're wiser than we are, and Satan wants us to make us think that we're wiser than we really are. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. That's what he told Eve. Eve, you're smarter than that. Figure this out on your own, darling. Goodness gracious, God's not that smart. God's not telling you the whole story. God is holding out on you, Eve. Eve, use your brain. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Then you heard your parents say that? Would you use the brain that God gave you, right? But the problem is we can't use our brain without the conviction of our soul and the Word of God to guide and balance what we think that we know. Frank Sinatra, the great singer, years ago, when Elvis recorded, I can remember Elvis singing it. He recorded the song of that generation, and quite frankly, could be the song of this generation. Here it is. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, and I'll state my case, of which I am certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and much, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the byway, and much more than this, I did it my way. Oh yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was no doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got? This is our generation. If not himself, then he has naught. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels, the record shows I took the blows and did it my way. There is the danger, the grave danger, of thinking I'm wise in my own eyes. It brings great destruction. Jesus said in Matthew that the path is wide that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven. Narrow is the road to righteousness. And it reminds me of my days, and I think 49 was this way this weekend. When we lived in Alabama, I-65 would become a parking lot in Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, and other times in the summer. July 4th weekend, you just avoided I-65 like the plague. You want to know why? Because in the right directions, about 10 o'clock going southbound, what became a parking lot, literally. Should be driving. Normally it's Indy 500. It's like Talladega Super Speedway on I-65. It's like 85 miles an hour or you get run over. Then about 2 o'clock, when everybody's had time to leave, you know where I'm going this week, the beach, they're leaving. They've checked out at 10, and that puts them about 2 o'clock in Clanton, Alabama. McDonald's be wrapped up like you take you 10 hours to get through McDonald's. You avoided it. Listen, in our own lives spiritually, if we look around us, spiritually speaking, and there are a whole lot of people crowded on the road we're on, that could be a great sign of warning. Don't you remember in school you used to say this great statement to your parents? Children, some of you say this now to your parents. I said it. I mean, I quoted it more than once. Came home with a test grade. This is for him. I knew what the word curve was. But mama, everybody failed the test. And mamas and daddies, what did you just so boldly say? I don't care what anybody else did. I'm your parent. The problem was what our parents want us to get is this. If everybody's on the road that's failing, that ain't the right road to be on. There is a road to be on. The word is clear. And that road, by the way, will bring healing and refreshment to your bones. What does that mean? Good night. It means I'm not going to have any disease. I'm going to be perfectly healthy. No. It means I got to go to the beach or the mountains to get refreshed. No. It means in the midst of difficult times in your life that even in the midst of those moments you can find refreshment for your soul. You know why? Because you fear the Lord and you walked away from evil. And you've not been wise in your own eyes but been wise by following God's ways and God's wisdom in your life. It will bring healing to your life. They have done medical study after medical study of people who have faced grim diagnosis and studied those who had a faith, an evangelical Christian faith, and those who have had none. And do you know this is the truth? It is the survivability is higher for those who have faith and those who do not. those who practice it and those who do not. They live longer. They have less stress, less worry, less depression, less anxiety. Doesn't mean we don't ever have those moments in our lives, but it means by and large, because we're not doing it our way, we're walking in God's way. And there's a difference, isn't there? The last two, and won't take long on these. Verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Very quickly, we spent the whole month of April talking about this, so just let me re-echo it here. Honor the Lord with the first that you have, with the very best. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Johnny Hunt, the pastor at First Baptist Woodstock, in our deacons meeting this last Monday, said this statement: we're never more like Jesus than when we give. Somebody said it this way: we are God's investment brokers. God gives us 10%, and he pays us 90% commission. Isn't that good? I like that. We're called to give our best. Secondly, the danger to avoid: take the best for yourselves. We tend to want to keep it first and then see if we can do it and not step out on faith and see that God's going to provide what we need. We play it safe. God says, step out in faith. Why do that? Because here's why. The Lord promises to bless us so we can give more. God promises to make your financial resources go farther if you'll be a good steward of that which God has given you. Guarantees it. Now, sometimes what he means here doesn't necessarily mean he's going to give you more financial things. It's not even material things. It's different. It's his blessing. It's his presence. It's his promises. But listen, if God blesses you with more financially, you know why he's blessing you with that? So you can give more. I love this. God tells three stories. We don't get to tell these stories often, but outlive your life. Talk three different families. A lot of you have made some incredible sacrificial commitments. Right now, we've taken in, I think, pledges so far over $250,000 for the next 2 years, whether one-time gifts or monthly gifts. It's extraordinary what you have done. I just commend you. So excited to see you do that. And what I love is when some of you tell me stories like these. I heard one story, somebody called me and said, hey, listen, we made a commitment. We weren't sure we could do it. Weren't sure we'd make the end of the week. And I've shared this one already before, but maybe you weren't here. And we were short. We weren't going to make it through the week. Looked in my wallet, found out I had miscounted. I had doubled the money I thought I had. But I did it after I wrote the check. Another family called me a couple weeks after that and said, listen, we were going to made the commitment, made the pledge, didn't have enough, didn't think we'd even have enough to buy groceries. And somehow in the mail came a $50 gift card to Walmart. Wasn't expected, didn't know it, didn't ask anybody for it, just came in the mail. Somebody else told me this story. They made a financial gift, made a contribution, more than they'd ever done before. Really felt really almost scared to do it. Got to work 2 weeks later. Got a bonus. It's a bonus I'd never even heard of before. You know how much it was? Paid for the entire commitment. Plus commission. Plus a bonus on top of it. Listen, God's true to his word. I promise you. I stake my life on it. Many of you have. It is true. You cannot outgive God. The last one, let's look at it. My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline. And don't get angry when he corrects you. The Lord corrects those he loves, just as a parent corrects the child in whom he delights. I love how the message says this. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk. Don't pout under his loving correction. It's the child that he loves that God directs. A father's delight is behind all this. The direction to take, very simply, take correction and discipline from the Lord as from his love. Now, none of us love discipline. I can remember. Now, we don't do this anymore. We ought to. We ought to, but we don't. I can remember Coach Kelly. Where are they? There you are, Coach Kelly. I can remember saying the word coach, whoever, and it would strike the fear of God inside of me. Do y'all remember those days? You know why it struck the fear of God in me? Because I had this thing that was named. Things like the scepter, the enforcer. Some that had little holes in it. You could hear it whistling, heading toward your backside. Do y'all remember those days? Do y'all remember guys in gym class assuming the position? To take it like a man, Right? Discipline. I can promise you, I never signed up and said, hey, today is the day I decide I need some discipline in my life. I'm going to make the coach mad. I did everything I could do. It took one time in the seventh grade. I got caught with a bunch of boys, and I don't know what we were doing. I have no idea. Something dumb, I'm sure. And Buddy, he lined up about 10 of us in the weight room, son, and there were some feet coming off the ground. Let's just put it that way. I didn't sit down for an hour, I don't think. But I promise you, I promise you, from that point forward, I never, ever went in that coach's office again. Never. It was a deterrent. Now, I didn't think he loved me a lot. I really don't think he did. But I can tell you this much. I can remember my dad whooping my tail. I remember coming home and my dad's car being in the driveway. And if his car was in the driveway when you came home from school, uh-oh. Here was Dad's question. How was your day? Jordan, you know what I'm talking about. I love it. Yeah. Derek, you know what I'm talking about. And what was our answer? Oh, it was fine. It was great. Dad, what brings you home on this fine, beautiful summer day? This fine spring day? Son, I'm going to give you one more shot to tell me how your day was. I didn't take long. Oh, it wasn't good. He said, well, just go on, head back in your room. I'm going back to the office. You'd be waiting for me in your room when I get back. I'm like, Dad, please beat me now. Please. Don't let me wait 3 hours to go back to work and come back home and tear my tail up. You know one thing I knew about my dad, though? And I've tried to do the same with my boys. If I ever spanked him, one thing he always did with us is he would pull us in his arms and put us in his lap. And we might be sulking and pouting. But he would hold us tight and say, I love you. Because I didn't understand at the time then that to discipline your child is one of the awfulest things you have to do as a parent. The greatest moments of love in our children's lives are when we discipline them. I'll never forget. It's a young lady. I think I may have mentioned this story before, but it still illustrates the point. We gotta be through. She lived at our house. I was in college by that point. I think I was a senior in high school, and she was there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night during the week. Mom would finally have to say, "Darling, my boys got to go to bed. They got to. You don't have to be home." No, my mom and dad don't care. I can go wherever I want to do. She's one of those kids that every teenager looked at her and thought, "Man, now she has the life. She could go out anytime she wanted to. She had no curfew. She's 15. No curfew, nothing. She could stay out 7 nights a week, spend the night any night of the week. It did not matter." We're like, man, if I could be in her house and have her parents, I would have it made, guys. That's what I thought. Doesn't that sound good? 7 days a week, basically no rules, do whatever you want to do. Doesn't that sound great? I'll never forget the moment I sat across the table and looked at her one day. I was in college and started to do youth ministry at that point, and she said this statement, and I quote, tears streaming down her face. She said this statement, "I wish my parents loved me enough to look at me just one time and care enough to say, no, you can't." See, we don't realize, teenagers and children, that our mom and dads love us a lot. And to say no sometimes is the hardest thing to do. It'd be a lot easier just to say, yes, go ahead, get out of my hair. Listen, that's the kind of love God has for us. And if you're having discipline from the Lord from time to time in your life, hey, good news, God loves you. If you have no discipline and correction in your life from the Lord, hey, you might want to ask yourself some tough questions. Either one of two things are true. Either you are walking far away from God, or you are ignoring His discipline. The danger to avoid, reject and be angry about it. Pout and sulk and be mad at God, and why'd God do this? And that's not fair, and I don't deserve this. The dividend to expect. We experience God's love, I think, more in the moments of discipline and correction than we do otherwise. That's how much God loves us. It's extraordinary. So as we close this morning, let me ask you this question. What path are you on today? Are you on your path? Are you on the wide path? There's a lot of people around you. Are you on the narrow path? Jesus says, narrow is the way and few are those who find it. Is your prayer, Lord, use me? With no conditions. Are you praying those kind of prayers? God will answer. I want to encourage you this morning, church family, to ask that question as we pray this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just take a moment on your own and just ask this question. Are you on the path that God would have you to be on? That the Lord is using you? Would you talk to him just a moment? And as you're praying that question, I want to ask you this. Do you understand that Jesus paid it all for you? And that all to him you owe. Have you ever made that moment where you have given him your heart and your life and said, yes, Lord, yes. I want to be on your path and follow your ways for my life. Have you admitted you're a sinner? Ask God to forgive you of all of your sins. Believe that he is the Son of God and confessed him as Savior and committed your life to him as Lord. I want you to know something this morning. You can do that. You can get on that path. You're wondering why there's a hole in your heart. You're wondering why things aren't going well in your life. Well, there's a good possibility you're not walking on the right path. But you can today. God's faithful covenant love is calling you today that will never let you go. This morning, some of you need to run into the arms of God this morning, and he's waiting. You can pray a prayer just like that. I'll be at the front to receive you in just a moment. For some, this morning, maybe you need to come and say, this is where the Lord has called me to plant my life. God's spoken to your heart about that, because I know we haven't. But if God's spoken to you clearly and you said, this is where I think I need to be, and where God wants us to plant our life of our family, then you come this morning, and we want to receive you in that decision this morning. Maybe to come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm in the middle of correction, discipline, and it's difficult. Maybe it's to come and pray for a friend or a lost family member. Maybe a burden on your heart this morning, you came in. Maybe you're on that. We're on the narrow path and you've taken a detour. And God's calling you to come home this morning. Father, whatever decision it is you're calling us to make, I pray we'll be obedient to do it right now. To come home to that which you're calling us to do. For each of us now, individually, privately, and corporately. We'd now put feet to that which you've spoken to our heart about, I pray. In Jesus' name.